This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Harry's, for guys like you that want a great shave experience for a fraction of what you're paying now. Go to harrys.com and get $5 off your first purchase by entering the code MORNINGSTREAM when you check out. Coming up on TMS, Vegas is so trivial.
Construction man.
Old Bill there had a pot pipe.
Uh-oh. A politician ate a booger.
The end of Wikipedia.
Bill Murray in Ghostbusters.
Fitness geek.
Your emails and more, and calls, and everything on this episode of The Morning Stream.
From Las Vegas, Nevada, the entertainment capital of the world, the 1986 National Finals Rodeo, the Super Bowl of professional rodeo. You'll never watch more exciting action in any sporting event. The finest rodeo athletes contesting on the finest rodeo animals in the world. That's live action at the 1986 National Finals Rodeo right here.
Saturday on Tulsa 23, where the stars are.
Number two.
The Morning Stream. 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 The Morning Stream.
This is The Morning Stream. It's a rat turd.
Everybody, welcome back to TMS, The Morning Stream for, Tuesday, August 11th, 2015. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ebbett. Brian Ebbett!
Well, hello!
Welcome home, sir.
Oh, it's so good to be back.
Is it good to be back? It is,
it
right?
It is good to be back.
Your own bed, your own Darth Vader mask. I guess you take that with you, though.
I take that with me, yeah. My Darth Vader mask travels with me until the airing shows up, that little portable dealio, the Darth Vader mask comes with me.
That's
right. And then I give the secret plans to the rebels on Tatooine.
Great. That's pretty good.
Thanks.
That's all right. I've never heard you do a droid impression before.
I've never done that before either.
That was really good. You also have your own toilet again. You got your own.
I had my own toilet. Well, okay. I have... I'm using the toilet that I'm most familiar with in this world.
Right. Yes. Which is good. I mean, I feel like when you get back from a long trip, which really for you was about 2 weeks of a long trip, you need the comforts of home. So,
yeah, between Salt Lake City for Nertacular and Las Vegas, it's just, man, the travel's been insane. And it's not really going to end anytime soon because I've got Dragon Con in about 3 weeks.
Yeah, you're rushing right out again. And then, so when you go to Vegas, so this is the trivia thing you went to, right?
Yes.
This is a yearly trek you make.
It has been. Yep.
Yeah. And so, we'll
it may not be anymore.
I was going to say that may have some meaning to it. I don't know. But you always, so whenever either of us are in Vegas, especially you because you're there more often than I am, you always come back with a little baggie full of funny moments, and I'm kind of dying to know what they are. So share one or two, won't you?
I will. And just kind of to put a pin in the comment I made earlier about it may not be, you know, an annual event anymore. I'm still going to be going to Vegas every year, but this Tacona thing. So, you know, you go to something like Nerdtacular.
Yeah.
And number one, everyone is super friendly. There's no...
It's the hallmark of the event. Everyone is nice.
It really is. Yeah, there's no pecking order. You know, it's producers and fans and everybody all getting together in one big melange, right? Yeah. Like all in one big soup.
Sure. I like the metaphor. It's good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
That's not the case with Tacona, it feels like. There's some Jeopardy champions. There are some folks who've been on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. One of the guys from King of the Nerds was there for the last season of King of the Nerds. $50 million quiz or whatever it was. 500 questions, which didn't really ask 500 questions. And there's definitely feels like and Brad Rutter, all-time Jeopardy champion. And it definitely feels like there's some like, oh, you haven't been on Jeopardy? Oh, I'm going to go over here and talk to other Jeopardy people.
I wondered about that. So it's a little clicky that way with who's been on what and who won what and that kind of thing.
It's really weird because these are, you know, I use the term nerds in the very positive way, the same way we use it in Nerdtacular.
Sure.
These are people who have found something that they really enjoy and they have become really, really good at it or really, really engrossed in it, like we all have, right? I mean, sure. That's the whole point of nerddom is you find something you really like and you want to know more about it.
Sure.
There's a whole Marion Call song about that very thing.
And be around those like you, right? That's kind of the idea.
Be around those like you. So for them to be non-inclusive or cliquey. It just seems so against the stuff that they probably rallied against and were hurt by in their youth.
See, right? this is what happens as we get older. We were treated like nerds when we were kids, whether that was full on bullying or just kind of, dude, comic books are dumb. You should be on the basketball team or whatever. When we took that kind of discrimination, now nerds run the world. We make the biggest movies. They're becoming in positions of power. Like, it's no longer is it a thing where you're an underling. Now you're this thing. And it's so easy to slip into this position of now I'm the one with the baton and all
of
you.
I'm the captain now. Yeah. You look at me.
Yeah, it sucks. It sucks. It's a bad part of human tendency.
Behavior,
I don't like it.
The worst part of it, though, worse than the kind of clickiness of it, is how poorly this thing is run. This is its fifth year, right? And Nerdtacular has been around a little bit longer, right? We've been doing the full blown multi-day or even a full day event of Nerdtacular for a while.
Yeah.
And
5 years.
Nerdtacular runs like clockwork because of the efforts of Corinne and David Michael and you. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it is a well-oiled machine. Mm-hmm. They've had 5 years to kind of figure this thing out. Mm. And the very first like quiz of the day, if you think of it like the Olympics, there's all these different events. Like there's a four-person team event. Yeah. There's a pub quiz style event. There's an individual test. There's a visual quiz. And it's all these different events here at Tacona. And within the first hour, things were so late that they scrapped one of the first quizzes, and it caused this big snowball thing that caused every single thing to be late or unexpected. You know, and granted, you know, you're focusing an entire weekend around this. So
if
you stay in the Tropicana ballroom for the entire time, you're going to get to do everything you want to do. Mm-hmm. But, you know, come on, let's be honest here. We're in Vegas.
Right.
We're going to want to go out and get a meal. I want to go out and eat at Guy Fieri's restaurant, even though I'm not a big fan of the guy.
When you do that, though, do you make sure that who you're eating with, you just make quick cuts at him with your eyes? You don't look at him for longer than 2 seconds?
I tuck my sunglasses behind my head.
Okay, good.
Because, you know, you never know when you're inside a restaurant when you're going to need your sunglasses at a moment's notice.
Then do you, okay.
You need them quick. You need quick access.
All right, so you got those in the back of your head. You're only looking at your friends in 2 second increments because you can't do more than that in the edit.
That's right.
And then finally, when you eat something good, do you pause for a moment? And then make a Fieri-gasm face. Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're doing it right then. You got it. Good.
Do it right.
Anyway. But
his food is so damn good.
It is really good.
And I'm sure the guy is the nicest guy in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Totally the nicest guy in the world. But boy, you know. Anyway. But this thing is so poorly run. It's like you, especially coming from Nerdtacular, where you've got 1 weekend in Nerdtacular, 1 weekend at Tacona, and Nerdtacular is run and managed and done so well. And Tacona, one of our buzzer systems didn't come in, so we're going to reshuffle everything around that we haven't, you know, that we can shuffle. This is going to be an hour late. This one, we're going to go ahead and keep you in the ballroom while we wait and figure this thing out.
Wow.
They had a scavenger hunt.
Those are always fun.
Amazing race style thing.
Sure.
And an hour and a half late it started, and I swear to God, one of the people who runs this thing was in the hallway on his laptop writing things for the scavenger hunt that was already late. Like,
ooh.
He was so far, so poorly planned that he's actually out there like typing up, locate a flower, get a picture, shaking hands with a taxi driver, hugging Elvis, whatever, and things like that. And he's working on that while this thing is supposed to be going on.
I couldn't do that. Yeah. I got to be well prepared. I don't even like it if I don't have everything pretty close to done a week in advance of Nerdtacular, I feel like I am screwing up my life. Like, I will be the worst piece of crap if I am not ready that much in
advance. No kidding, right? Yeah. I mean, that's the whole part of the whole stress thing is am I prepared for this? And if you're not prepared, holy crap, you got to feel like you're so behind the eight ball. I couldn't stand it.
Yeah.
And I've even thought of the whole drive home, we're driving back, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I could offer to kind of throw my hat in the ring. I've seen how this works. I can see where the chinks in the armor are. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And I can, you know, maybe say, hey, I'll tell you what, I will do it. I will manage the event for free. I will be a taskmaster and you will have to, you know, adhere to my timetables on things, getting things done weeks, maybe even months in advance.
Sure.
but I don't care anymore. I'm so done with this thing that it's like
part of it would be useful. Okay, let's say that you did that. Let's say they said, "Hey, Brian, but you're in charge of, let's say, the Amazing Race style scavenger hunt, which is something you would totally excel at. You would still have to do it within the confines of the chaos. In other words, it isn't like, okay, phew, we got that one little corner taken care of. You would still be beholden to all this other chaos not
all
happening
on
time.
The stuff that came before. And is it on time? Is it ready? Are the people who... Here's the other thing. Like they consider, we're going to have this event and we're going to have this event. Oh, these are both long events, so we'll make them going simultaneously. Well, what if you've registered for both events? What if your team is doing one thing and you're scheduled for this other thing? Does your team play without you?
Yeah.
It's just so poorly done. come on, people. So
anyway, let me ask you the ultimate question. Do you think that this was particularly egregious in your view, or was harder to deal with in the fact that you were still coming off of N15? You were just coming out.
Nerdtacular?
Yeah.
No, I think that even without Nerdtacular, I would still feel like this is the most poorly run convention organization thing that I've ever attended.
Wow. It's just, and you've been to a few. That's pretty
I've been to everything, man. I've been to, that first New Media Expo in Ontario.
Yeah.
Where they had no idea. And it's, people doing this out of their basement. Hey, let's do a convention. That was better run than this. Yeah. There were panels that started on time and finished on time. And oh my God, if we had a microphone that doesn't work, guess what? We have spares. We didn't say, all right, we've got eight people are going to be talking on stage. Let's only have eight microphones available to us in case, because nothing's possibly going to go wrong.
Yeah. That seems wrong.
Anyway, so that's
I'm glad you had a moment to vent. It's fine. I think this is good. You've got let it out.
We had 10 hours to vent on the drive back. But on the drive there, though, and I told you how last year my buddy Don got a speeding ticket in Utah.
Yeah.
And
what part of the Utah? Where were we when that happened?
I thought it was St. George, but I was wrong. It was Cedar City. I remember as soon as we drove through it again, it said, here's where it actually was.
Yeah, they're a little more hardcore there. They're a college town. They got a little goofy kids riding around. So I think.
They've got to be a little rougher.
Yeah.
A little harder on the tourists.
Sure.
This time I drove the first leg, drove it all the way to Grand Junction. Then we switched off. And because we were going through Utah, I said, all right, George, why don't you take the wheel? And George is my uncle. Mm-hmm. And he hopped behind the wheel. We finished our few miles left in Colorado and made it into the great state of Utah.
Aww.
And noticed as soon as you cross over into Utah, the speed limits go from 75 up to 80.
They sure do, Brian. We speed right up.
I love that. Love that. So... He gets the car up to, he says 83, but I kind of looked over his shoulder and saw that it was like 86, 87.
All right.
And flicks it on cruise control. And before too long, just barely into the confines of Utah, the great state of Utah, and we get pulled over yet again.
Beep, beep. Was it that kind of thing where they like flash their lights and pull them over?
I don't know. I was in the back seat. And so I just know he... slowed down the car fairly abruptly, got over onto the shoulder and rolled down the window.
Yeah. Did you do the thing where you pretended to have a seizure in the back seat and he was like, I'm trying to get him to a hospital, quick.
Oh, no, I should have, though. That might have worked.
Yeah.
No. This was an interesting encounter because the officer came up to the passenger side window, which is smart. You want to be safe. And rolled down the passenger side window. Cop comes up to the window, says, so do you know what the speed limit is on this stretch of road? And my uncle says, 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
And cop says, do you know how fast you were going? My uncle says, like 83, 84, somewhere around there. Cop says, 80 miles an hour isn't fast enough for you? we raised it from 75 up to 80 because you Colorado people didn't want to drive 75, so we thought we'd make it 80. Now 80 isn't enough for you people.
Wait a minute. He referenced Colorado?
Yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
Colorado people.
That's
amazing.
And
he kept calling us you people, like, now 80 isn't enough for you people.
Oh, that's great. Dude, he's like one of those, he's like a cop in a screwball comedy, like one of those getting stopped, like Dumb and Dumber or freaking Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. He's one of those cops. That's amazing.
And I'm in the back seat trying to mentally, like, I'm trying to send telepathic waves to George to say, I'm sorry, officer. We won't do it again. Something along those lines.
Sure.
Little repentance. Just repentance.
Yeah. The penitent man shall pass. We know
exactly.
This.
Exactly. We've learned that from Indiana Jones.
Right.
And the cop says, you know, we raised it from 75 up to 80, and that's still not fast enough for you people. And George's response is, human nature.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, that's not what you say. That's not what you say.
Boy, you don't want to be in a Cedar City prison. I can tell you that.
So I, you know, George says that, and the cop is kind of quiet for a second. He's looking at George's license. He's kind of looking at all of us. I think he's probably trying to smell for any marijuana, sure. Any residue, traces of pot smoke.
Well, it is Colorado after all. Sure.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm in the back seat and I say, we're really, really sorry, officer. It won't happen again.
It really is like a comedy, dude.
I'm jumping in. I'm going to say something if I have to. So he kind of looks at all of us again, and he says, just slow it down. And he gives George his license back and walks away. It's like,
Thank goodness Brian intervened.
Who knows? It may not have been me, but I think that's what that guy was just looking for, was he wanted to vent about legislation in his state.
Yeah, I guess so.
75 should be fast enough.
So I'm guessing, this, you just described the perfect, so it's Uncle George and Brian, but really it's Steve Zahn and Billy Crystal in their prime. In this car.
That's right, exactly.
Talking to some cop played by, I don't know who would play that cop. Come on, let's cast him. Who's in the...
Would have been played by Chris Cooper with a mustache and a beard. Not a beard, but a mustache.
Amazing. Perfect.
Yes, absolutely Chris Cooper, without a doubt.
That's incredible.
So, wow. So who knows? You know, next time we go to Vegas, I think it's just going to be me driving the whole damn way.
I love this. I love that this happens every time he goes through there. So no ticket, man. Just a warning. That's all, right? Just a warning.
Just a warning. No ticket.
All right.
And just kind of one little quick thing, just because I know we got more to talk about, but we're standing in front of the Tropicana waiting for a taxi to go to Guy Fieri's restaurant. As a matter of fact, it was that trip.
Yeah.
About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, we missed lunch because of delays.
Oh, that's shocking.
And we were heading over. We were just going to kind of make a lunch dinner thing out of Guy Fieri meal.
Yeah.
And waiting for a taxi in front of the Tropicana. Taxi pulls up. Woman steps out, wobbles a little bit, throws up all over the place.
Yeah.
And then gets right back up and starts walking towards the Tropicana.
Yes.
She takes 3 steps into the Tropicana, up the stairs, turns around, runs back to the door. Oh, doesn't quite get it open in time.
Oh man, you're making me not miss Vegas at all. Actually, well, she wasn't part of your. She's not part of the trivia.
Not part of the trivia thing. No, she was, and she was carrying one of those big plastic yards of slush. Slushahol.
Right. What
slurpahol is it?
That is so bad. That would ruin my day. I'd be done. I think I couldn't I couldn't make a meal later. I think I'd be out of it.
Yeah, and it didn't help that the next taxi that we got into, the seats were kind of wet.
Ew.
The taxi driver said that it was a bunch of people who had just come from the pool. He's like, I don't know why. And I'm not doing the accent,
right,
but it was in a very thick accent. He says, I don't know why these people come out from the pool and they don't towel off and they just get in my taxi and make the seats all wet.
It's because it's Vegas. It's gross. That's the point of the place. So is Uber like an option in Vegas? I never even thought about this.
It's getting to be. That's the crazy thing. There's a union, right? Mm-hmm. A taxi union. There's big unions all over Vegas.
Yeah.
And the taxi system has been part of that. However, they are working through the legislation to actually get Uber out there.
Yeah.
And
that'd be great.
Here's a recommendation, though. If you're going to go to Vegas and there's like maybe a group of you, 4, 5, 6, you're coming at the airport, go to presidentiallimo.com and rent a town car. It's cheaper than 2 taxis to Vegas.
Oh, hey, that's good info.
And you show up in a limo and it's clean. Mm. It might just be a town car. It might be a black town car.
Sure.
But it's cheaper than renting a limo or cheaper than renting a cab. And you actually get a round trip. So you tell them when you're flying back and they will have that same limo or a town car, whatever, at your hotel the day you have to fly out, waiting for you to hop in and go back to the airport.
And the seats are dry. That's the key.
And the seats are dry.
Uh-huh. And Slushahol Sally isn't going to come out and just yak as soon as she gets out of that car. Do you think she said to the guy, excuse me, I'm going to put down my Slushahol and throw up? Do you think she said that?
Hey, I got to put my yard of pink.
What a great time, dude. I'm glad that you had no fun so that you could then share it with them. No, of course you always had fun. Oh, I have one question for you before we call Dara. One tiny question. So the only... You and I always are texting back and forth throughout weeks and time and whatever. We're always having little chats. You'll send me little pictures here and there. But the thing that really struck me on this trip from you was a live Periscope that you had taken.
Oh, yeah. You watched some of that?
From the craps table or something.
It was from Sigma Derby. So... all right, you've got your casino games, right? And it's sure. your blackjack and your pie-go poker and craps, of course, yeah. and all these other ones. Everybody knows those, right?
Yeah.
Well, back in the 90s, there was another thing that you could bet on in Vegas, and it was this thing called Sigma Derby. And it was a big, long, flat table about the size of a pool table
okay.
with like 10 stations around it. And it would only take quarters. And it would have this big display or this big open area in the middle with these little plastic horses and an oblong track.
Oh, amazing.
And
this almost sounds fake. It sounds so great.
So great.
Yeah.
And it tells you the odds for each of the horses, and you bet on pairs of horses. So you say, all right, I think one and two are going to come in first and second, or second and first. You know, you're not betting on the order, you're just betting on which two are going to cross the finish line first. There's five horses.
Right.
And it tells you the odds, and it says, all right, well, odds on 2-3 is 3-1, but odds on 4 and 5 coming in first are 200-1. And it changes every time they run the race. Mm. And so really all you're doing is saying, I'm going to say 2 and 3 and 1 and 5 are going to come in first. And you bet a quarter on each one, or you bet 50 cents or whatever.
Right.
But you do that by dropping your quarters into the slot and just hitting the little button, as opposed to slipping in. This thing won't take paper money. You have to put used quarters.
Okay. So it's old. Sounds like it's old.
It's old. And they used to have these all over the strip, and each one was customized. Mm. So the one at Caesar's Palace had chariots, you know, being pulled by horses.
That's awesome.
The ones at the Luxor were Egyptians, yeah. right?
At the crazy horse that was just boobs.
It was just boobs, just giant boobs running around a track.
Yeah. I like it.
And they were all themed. This is the last one on the strip. There's also one at the D Casino downtown, and it's also just a boring, plain old horse one.
Right.
But this is the last one there, and it's almost always packed. You can you know, usually get in a seat, and then as people leave, you can get your friends in there, and that's kind of what we did. Is basically we just kind of got one seat in there, and then a few of us got kind of around it. Mitzula was there.
Oh, great.
Chris Minton. And we sat there and played that forever, and I decided –
That was amazing.
I could stick my phone in a plastic cup over here, kind of lean it over towards the table, and people could watch these horses go around the track.
Hence my question.
Yes.
So I wanted to know, is that, if they knew you were filming, is that a thing a casino, like, I don't know what the rules are now in the world of cell phones.
They frown upon that.
They do, okay.
Yeah. That would be, and that's why every once in a while you'd see it get kind of, the screen would get kind of muffled, and that would be the point at which I put a plastic bag or a roll of quarter paper over the screen of the phone so they couldn't see that it was on. Because, you know, sending your phone down on the table or on a slot machine is no big deal.
Sure.
But having it running and having it do video is an issue. You can't take photos. You can't shoot video. And it's really, I want to say that it's a security thing, because if you were going to do a little George Clooney-esque heist of a casino.
Sure.
You'd want to take videos to show where all the cameras are so you can make your little model of the casino.
Well, I need to know where to put the little Chinese guy, so when I sneak him in, I know. Yeah, sure. These are all important
things. So you just want to make sure that they've got, you know, a good vantage point for your little tiptoe stealth mission, Metal Gear Solid style.
Sure. I need to be efficient, because I want to talk to Don Cheadle in that crappy accent as little as possible. I don't want to hear him do that fake accent for very long. So, yeah, I totally understand.
It'll be Blarney, mate.
But I saw that and I just went, I don't think he's allowed. I think that's like, Brian's like all being daring and stuff. He's like filming a casino.
It's just flaunted. And my favorite place, too, MGM. What's one of my favorite casinos to be in. It's not like... you can have somebody counting cards for you. Like if I had that at the blackjack table, that'd be another security issue, because they'd be making sure that you aren't counting cards, and just having somebody watch all the cards that come out and then send a little signal to your Apple Watch to say, bet big, there's a lot of queens left in the deck.
Yeah, they just draw a little queen face or a little a little ace or whatever. Yeah.
Send me a little thumbs up with a smiley face.
Sure.
So it's, you know, you're playing a game that is so completely random that somebody couldn't be feeding you any sort of strategy for Sigma Derby. But I think
Sigma, is it Sigma Derby?
Sigma Derby, okay. Like as in the Greek letter Sigma.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
And I think the worst thing that probably would have happened if they would have seen that I was filming there is saying, oh, sir, you need to turn that off. You can't do that in here.
Yeah.
And then if I kept doing it, then they'd ask me to leave or something.
Or
like
they'd
that.
Kill you. Yeah, you'd just be dead.
They'd take me in the back and smash my fingers with a hammer.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's true. They have that first. Then they kill you.
That's what they do first. Yeah.
Yeah. Fingers first, then death. That's right. Wow, that's fascinating. I always like it when you come back. You always get good stories from there.
I know. I think I might have to have one more trip this year just to maintain my life status.
You got to keep it up.
I get free rooms because I go out there and pay for rooms. It does seem like kind of a dumb self-fulfilling prophecy, doesn't it? I don't like to pay for rooms, so I'm going to go out there and pay for rooms so that they give me a free room.
I want to pay for 50 rooms so I can get one room.
Right.
I understand. Sure.
It does seem kind of silly, doesn't it?
Brian, it's the American dream.
On paper.
It's the American dream. Hey, look at this. Look at this, everyone. That music signals one thing and one thing only, and that is the advent of Stump a Trek Nerd brought to you by.
Do you live near Indianapolis?
No.
Kansas City?
No.
Denver?
No.
Salt Lake City?
Yeah.
Oh, if you do, please help a Canadian and his dog get to their new home in Seattle. A simple couch for one night between August 31st and September 4th in each city would be great. Email Ben at bendelano, B-E-N, at bendelano.ca.
That is
He's Canadian. That is How bad could it be?
It can't be. It could be fine. And it's the single most interesting segment thing we've ever gotten from anyone.
It is, exactly.
Do you have any cheese curds and gravy?
I need poutine for my trip.
All right, we have something I have to play here because it's here. Here's this right here.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's Farnsworth, right? Now, here's the long version.
You puff-stripping sack of double-smoked butt jerky!
We're doing Futurama trivia today. We're shaking it up.
Oh, wow,
a break
really?
From Star Trek. Yeah, I couldn't find the music theme. I don't know what happened to it, so I'll find it later, but... for today, we'll just go for it. And Daryl's here. Daryl Skeels, how you doing?
I'm great.
Fantastic. You said something about This American Life today I want to take issue with. So the last couple of episodes have been really, really impactful for me. I really got a bunch of stuff out of them, and I found them very eye-opening in some ways, very heartening in some ways, very disappointing. Just really, really good stuff. Proves why This American Life is just one of the best put-together radio things ever. Okay? So that was great. I say that on Twitter, and Daryl's first comment is, I can't listen to that. Someone always dies. That was his tweet. Now,
Act one, we introduce you to a character you're going to like very much.
And then he'll
act
die.
Two.
Act two, he's dead.
We tell you how they died miserably.
Act three, I'll make a joke. So, do you really feel that way, that the show's always got someone who dies? Is that what you're...
Well, I don't listen to it all the time, but every time I've listened to it, it's always a great story. You're rooting for them, and then at the end, they're dead.
Wow. I swear that if I had to percentage that, I'd say it's like maybe 3% of all stories have somebody dying in them.
Wow.
Something like that. It's like real low, so it really came as a shock to me. I think you would really like those last two, especially as, you know, a father of kids in school. I think you'd get a kick out of it. Anyway, Daryl Skeels, he's here. He likes Futurama. He likes Star Trek. And we're taking a break from Star Trek to talk about Futurama. And here is your Futurama trivia right after this mashup, everyone. It's mashup Monday. Or no, it's Tuesday. But here it is. Here you go.
Major Barrett. Oh, wait.
It's kind of quiet.
Major Barrett. There you go. Well played, sir.
Horse pellets.
The baby was a chicken.
Yeah.
All these other.
I want him to have things like High Buglar Tuna Head Man.
Sure.
High Buglar Tuna Head Man.
You can't talk to me like that. I outrank you. I'm a Tuna Head Man. I am only Sub Tuna Head Man.
Hey, Beck put out a new album, man. He's retro 90s and on vinyl. That's awesome. Let me go get my mismatching shoes and dumb mustache, and I'll meet you down at the coffee shop. That's the way their day goes.
So right. True.
Now get me those detonators.
Is it over, or is this a recording still? Are you
This is me now. This is me now.
This is me actually saying that it's not a recording. Is this live now? Or are we back?
I don't know what's happening. Now it's live.
What? Huh?
We're
what?
Back now.
This what? Is, are, we, what? Are we really back now?
Daryl did a couple of what's that actually threw me off. If I hadn't seen the thing stop playing, I would have thought that was actually playing.
What?
All right. Daryl, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, so there's your matchup. That was a pretty good one, Mike. Although it really broke the fourth wall. I don't really know who I am or where I am
it's
anymore.
It's getting more and more meta.
Yeah, it freaked me out. All right, what are we doing? Oh, yeah, the question. You ready for your question? Here it is.
Yeah.
And we don't know the answer until we click a URL to see it. So.
Oh, wow, so we can play along.
Yeah, we can kind of play. Oh, I guess it's for all of us, too, so we'll see how we do here.
Yeah.
In the episode Luck of the Fryish, Fry finds a Fryrish, I guess is how that's supposed to be pronounced.
Fryrish.
Like Luck of the Irish, yeah. Fry finds a seven-leaf clover. He thinks this brings him good luck. He hides the clover in a record jacket to what 1980s soundtrack? Was it A, The Breakfast Club, B, Fast Times at Ridgemont High, C, Pretty in Pink, or D, Ferris Bueller's Day Off? My memory is Fast Times, but I don't know. I can't
there
say
never
for
was
sure.
A soundtrack released for Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Well, really? Is
that
because
true? They couldn't get the rights to Twist and Shout by the Beatles. It was too expensive. So
they just bombed the whole rest of it and said, forget it?
Oh, yeah, there's fake ones you can get. Yeah. Out in the world. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it was they definitely didn't do that. I think they also didn't do one for Valley Girl.
Oh, interesting.
Like, until just recently, until a few years ago when they finally just said, you know what, let's just pay for the rights and we'll sell it and it'll be great.
Wait a minute. There are people still sitting around chomping at the bit for a Valley Girl soundtrack?
For a Valley Girl soundtrack.
Wow.
Yes.
Who would have thought that? I guess you would be. You'd love that, right? That's you. You're that guy.
There was some great stuff. Yeah, absolutely.
You're that guy. All right. Well, before we answer it, everyone be thinking of your little answers there. Daryl, why don't you give us a little today in Star Trek history?
Oh, yeah, we have that. Back on this day in 1983, Chris Hemsworth, the Kirk's father from the 2009 movie, was born.
Close enough. We'll take. We would also have accepted Hemsworth, but that's fine.
What did I say?
Hemsworth.
Oh.
Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Henway.
Veronica. Nicole, your voice sounds funny. What's going on with your voice today, Nicole? Anyway, that's good. I remember seeing that and thinking, I like the cut of that guy's jib, and who knew that right after that he would rise to fame as Thor, the god of thunder. No one knew. But then back, you got to remember, in 2009, Chris Hemsworth was a nothing. Nobody. Nobody knew who that guy was.
Yeah.
He was just this handsome man that was Kirk's father and... You know, bravely flew the freaking saucer section into a big chunk of hoo-ha. And that was great. And we saw that together, all three of us in the same movie theater. Thinking
that we did.
A little brush with fame there. All right. Well done. Happy, what is it? What was the deal with him? It wasn't his birthday.
It's his birthday.
Oh, it is his birthday. Okay. Well, good for him. How old is he again?
1983 plus negative whatever today is.
34, 35?
How about if I tell you?
Yes.
I hope that he was exactly 32 years old.
32 years old, okay. Yeah, he's still a young buck.
He is.
Virile.
It's too bad about his looks, though. I wish he was, you know, he's just so damn homely.
Oh, my gosh. You know, Steve Buscemi really is maybe the ultimate guy out there who's the ugliest actor working, but Chris Hemsworth comes real close.
Really close.
Yeah. Real
just
close.
Hard to look at. Oh, poor guy.
I know. I feel bad for him. Anyway, it's okay. It's getting him jobs. It's fine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like that fat kid in Sandlot. It's fine. I don't know why I thought. Oh, I know why I thought of him. Somebody showed me a picture yesterday. That guy looks exactly like you thought he was going to look when he grew up. Exactly. Like, you know, I'm talking about the redheaded, freckled kid that's the catcher. Do you know who I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah. The You're Killing Me Smalls kid?
Yeah, you'll see, like, the one kid in Goonies, the kind of chubby kid that pulls a shirt up and acts like he's, you know, spazzing out or whatever. That kid looks nothing like he did when
he was... Well, that's O'Donnell.
Yeah,
right?
No, different kid.
Or O'Connell. Jerry O'Connell.
Different kid.
Oh, different kid.
Yeah. He's in that, too, and he looks totally different, too. Oh, and you're thinking of Stand By Me. So, yeah, there's these kids.
I am thinking of Stand By Me. I'm sorry.
There's these kids when they're kid actors, they look totally different as they get older. So you're totally right. But in this case, this kid in the Sandlot, and chat room will find it because I can't find it. Spitting image of what
Pam Porter is the kid's name, or the character name. Patrick Renna is the actor.
And he is the adult version of that kid.
I'm looking at his IMDb photo right now.
Isn't that funny?
That is funny.
Yeah. I mean, it
looks a little better. I mean, it looks better now than he did then.
He looked like the kind of kid that you were okay with your son hanging out with on the weekends, but you just didn't think he was going to make much of himself kind of face.
Right.
But he kind of looks like, I mean, he just looks like, you'd recognize him. You'd see him in public and go, "Here, that guy that played that kid." Like you just know.
There are roles out there for Patrick Renna. and good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Good job. Keep it going. Stay out of trouble. All right, Daryl, back to you. And us, I guess. So it's this Luck of the Friarish. It's this 80s soundtrack that was where he hid his seven-leaf clover. It was the Breakfast Club. Was it the Fast Times at Ridgemont High? Was it Pretty in Pink or Ferris Bueller's Day Off? Again, my memory says Fast Times, but I'm willing to hear what the board has to say before I...
I don't remember this episode, but I just think that it would have to be one of the first three. That Pretty in Pink was the first soundtrack I ever owned on CD.
Hmm.
It's one of the first albums I ever bought on CD.
There's also
part
of me also says that there was a episode of Futurama, and the problem is I don't associate it necessarily with this episode, but I remember hearing the Don't You Forget About Me song. And I'm wondering if this is the
one. Then that would put it in the Breakfast Club world, wouldn't it?
It certainly would.
Yes.
It's way less Spicoli and a pizza in class and way more...
hey, bud, let's party.
You know what? I kind of just want to watch all these movies now. Like all four.
Yeah,
of these.
I kind of do too.
Daryl, you have a leaning?
I'm thinking A or C. And I remember seeing this because we're rewatching them again.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't pay any attention to what was on the cover.
Oh, so you don't think Fast Times at Ridgemont High at all, huh?
Mm. No. Mm. I'm leaning towards Pretty in Pink.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
Mm. So do you have any memory of Don't You Forget About Me being played somewhere? Don't you? At the end, like credits start to roll and Fry's walking off in the distance or something?
Me, I'll be alone.
Maybe a cover? It may have been a cover. I don't know. I love the ones where they did this. Sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if it was even part of that episode. It might have been some other episode.
It could have been. You're totally right. All right. Here's what we'll do. All three of us will pick the one we feel strongest about.
Okay.
And then we'll see how we do. So I'm going to say I am now leaning Breakfast Club.
I'm based on you saying that you remember Don't You Forget About Me. I'm going to lean Breakfast Club as well.
All right.
Because I don't remember this at all. So I'm.
All right. Double A, which is
a process. I'll be the
MCO.
Yeah. Nice. And you're going to say C, you say?
Yeah.
Okay, two A's and a C.
Two A's and a C.
Sounds like...
That's what this show is all about. Two A's and a C.
For me, that was art, science, and math. All right. let's find out if any of us are right. Okay, I'm clicking the thing here. We're looking it up. The answer is... Okay, well, I'll play this, and then we'll see who's right. If you're Daryl... If you're me and Brian...
Congratulations.
Oh, woo-hoo! Look at that.
You're a winner.
He puts it inside the cover to find it missing. He believes his brother stole the clover and also stole his identity. That's right. It was flashback stuff when he was younger.
Yitzy stole my clover.
Whoops. Here's the clip.
Yitzy stole my clover. That thief.
How do you know it didn't disintegrate? Everything else in here held up okay.
Except Sports by Huey Lewis.
So you opened the record vault and the clover was gone?
Yep. Nothing in there but all the best music of the 1980s in one amazing collection.
Survivor, Pat Benatar, The Scorpions, the list goes on.
Oh my gosh, I want to watch that episode now. That was amazing. All right, well, congratulations to the permanent hosts of the show and the regular guest, Daryl, did failed miserably. Tomorrow we'll do it again. All week we're doing Futurama questions, and I love these. So come on back now, or come on back later for those, you hear. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. You can also find him at thisweekintrek.com and the Grumpy Cast. And Daryl will now play. You know what? I just realized this is your first time back since Nerdtacular, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Weird. Mm-hmm. That's super weird. It was really good.
And
scene.
I don't get to tell my horror story because now we're out of time.
No, yay. You're going to tell it now. Tell it now.
Yeah, if you got a horror story, tell it.
Yeah, we don't. Listen, Daryl, I have an announcement to make. Jury's not here today. He's on a plane. We got we got time, so go ahead, man.
Okay, well.
Plane travel. That's a good way to go.
Yeah, right.
on Saturday, well, it's better than taking the ferry.
Well, Brian, just the way he said it had so much regret in it, like a 10-hour regret. Hey, I'm sorry, 20-hour regret.
20-hour regret. Or if you're counting the last 2 weeks, 36-hour regret.
Oh, my Lord. You're like the old explorers coming to like Central America for the first time.
You know that new car smell I've been really pleased about having in my car for the last year? Yeah, it's gone.
It's got the old George smell now. All right, anyway, sorry. What? Daryl, go ahead.
Okay, well, we visited the in-laws on Saturday, and that requires a ferry ride to the island that they're on.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a two-hour wait. And there's a law that you're not supposed to cut in line. You're supposed to go to the back of the line and wait with everyone else.
Okay. Makes sense.
There's an intersecting road right before the toll booth, and two jerks just cut in right there.
All
right. And there was a lady in front of them, and she got out of their car and went back to them and said, "You guys have to go to the end of the line. You can't just cut in here. It's the law." And I didn't hear exactly what she was saying, but it was something like that.
All right.
And so since she had gotten out of her car, the traffic before her moved forward. So these two cars pulled out like, "Oh, yeah, I guess you're right. We'll go to the back of the line." But they didn't. They went around her. So she was even more screwed than before.
Yeah.
By two cars. And that's enough to miss a ferry. But anyway.
Oh, no.
Where am I here? Okay. When these two cars finally got up to the toll booth.
They weren't the Duran brothers. Just tell me that, right? It wasn't Bill and Rob Duran in the front seats?
No, no.
Okay. All right.
No, no.
Just clearing it up there in Seattle.
Because they are nice and they would not do that.
All right.
What will those Duran brothers do now?
So they got up to the toll booth, and the lady got out of her car again and ran up there and said, "Those two cars cut in line." And then and we were right behind all this.
Yeah.
And the first car, I guess they were really jerks, and they said a bunch of stuff, but they left and they were gone.
Okay.
But this other guy started going off on this poor little old lady, yelling and screaming at her. And so I can't just let that happen. So I had to go and say something.
Yeah, Daryl, stand up.
Nice, good.
Okay.
So I said, "Get back to the line, or back to the end of the line like everyone else." And so he just said, "Oh, a guy. Well, that's better than beating up on a lady. I'll go tell this guy stuff." So I was at one of the toll booths, and he came up and was signaling to me to get out of the car and yelling at me to come fight him and all this.
Sweet.
And then he actually got out of his car and was walking towards me, and the toll booth attendants were saying, "Sir, sir, please get back in your car. You will not be allowed on this ferry. You must leave." And then they called the police, I guess. And so this guy was threatening me, and
Did he threaten you with? That's what I want to know. Did he tell you he's going to like beat you up? Did he say eat you? Or like, what did he say?
He said he was going to beat me up, and he was going to find me later and kill me. And
ooh, jeez. Really? Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So the police finally showed up. Well, by the time they got there, which was only a couple minutes, the guy had finally decided to get in his car and leave. And all I did, I wasn't going to go fight him. That's just monkey talk. That's like apes and tribal weirdness. So I just pulled up. I just rolled up my windows and sat there.
You know what? Hold on.
I wish you would have periscoped all this.
I know. Brian, you and I, listen, we're going to tour the country, go to schools, and we're going to say, "Don't fight, kids. It's like apes and tribal weirdness." That's what I'm going to do.
Perfect.
All right. Anyway, that's today's title also.
Scared straight is basically what that is.
Anyway. So
the police got there and they said, "Well, we'll stay here. So in case that guy tries to come back and do anything bad." So we got in the ferry line or in the.
Oh,
do we lose him?
No, you cut out for a sec.
Holding area.
Oh, okay. Holding area. Holding area. Got it. Sorry. He's catching up to us. He doesn't know we're talking yet. All right. Now I can hear.
Yes. Going back.
You just lag. You're fine. Yeah. No. So can I ask you this question? Is being on that ferry with a bunch of cars the most claustrophobic experience a man can experience?
No, I'm totally used to it. It's not that bad.
Oh, I can't do it. My wife last night, so there was a big family thing, and I couldn't go to this thing, okay, because I had I had work stuff last night, so I didn't go to it, and we'd forgotten they shut the freeway down to one lane, and Kim calls me in a place that should take her about 10 minutes to get to me, and it took her an hour and like 20. It was awful.
Oh,
and even that puts me in almost like panic attack claustrophobia mode. The idea of a bunch of cars who can't move on a highway makes me, and I'm not kidding about this, I've almost done this, Brian, get out of my car and run into the trees somewhere or just run away. I've almost done it before. It's that the temptation is so strong. It's overwhelming. It's one of my great, like Tom Merritt and elevators, he told me once. Somebody else was telling me one over the weekend. Anyway, you know, people have these very specific kinds of triggers for like a phobia or something. For me,
yeah, mine is
It's that every time, dude.
Yeah, mine's being in a place where I can't, like an air vent or something where I can't turn around. Not that that's happened to me. Not that I've been in an air vent.
Yeah, Do you have to channel your Bruce Willis and go?
I do.
Have a few laughs.
Hey, come to LA. We'll have a few laughs.
Or your don't channel your Andy Dufresne crawling through mud and shit. It's a bad idea. All right, Daryl, that was a great story. My gosh, I'm glad you're okay though. Everything's fine. Did you have to file a report? Are they going to go after the guy, or what's the deal there? Probably not.
Well, they took my name and number and said they were going to try to hunt him down, and they said they'd call me if there was any reason to, but they never did.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I would have been I think you handled it better than me. I would have been so fired up. I think I may have stepped into the fray, and I that's a problem for me when things get real hot, and I don't know. I kind of lose it a little bit. So you kept cool. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I wasn't going to go attack him, but if he wanted to attack me and attract lawsuits and go to jail, well, that's
You
want to
do this? You want to throw down? You want to do this? You want to be doing this?
Ah, you want to go to fisticuffs? That's what you should have said. All right, Daryl.
I used to box for Harvard.
You'll need to now give us a quiz of your own. You've got something.
Oh yeah,
right?
We're doing that, huh? Yeah. Where are we here?
It's the longest stump trek nerd ever, and that's okay. We don't care. It's been happening. A while. Yeah, you weren't here last week, and we missed it. So here we go.
Star Trek fish or actual fish?
Star Trek fish or actual fish? All right.
Yeah. Halo fish.
Halo fish.
Halo fish.
Hmm.
So isn't that it's a fish cover of the Rihanna song? It's a Halo. She do Halo. I don't
it's
know.
It's a Beyonce.
Oh, Beyonce.
Yeah, Beyonce.
All right.
I
wish I could tell you a story about my son, but I promised him I wouldn't.
Oh,
just reminded me of it.
Such a Johnson.
I'll just say that it has something to do with Jimi Hendrix, and oh, no, I can't think of his Bob Marley. That's all I'll say.
Wow.
I'm not saying anything else. I promised him I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't want to embarrass him. Anyway, sorry. Star Trek fish or real fish?
Star Trek fish or actual fish? Halo fish.
It sounds like a real fish to me.
It does sound like a real fish. And I feel like there's a Hawaiian name for a fish, or maybe it's a Japanese name for a fish that we call something else, but they call halo.
Hmm.
Halu? Halo?
Halu fish?
Halo fish. H-A-L-O. Halo fish.
Halo fish?
Let's say real fish.
Okay. We're going to say real fish because we couldn't find any real fish.
Fishy.
Wait, is that how the line goes? How's it go?
We asked for more fish, and they refused to give us any more fish.
No, it was nothing about real fish.
Too early for a Halo fish sandwich?
Now I got to play it.
Hey, too early to get a fish sandwich?
There you go. Or the famous line Daryl once captured from Extra Life Radio.
Back in my day, I didn't use condoms. We used an old fish.
Anyway. A long time ago. 2005. Anyway.
Okay. You say real fish.
We say real fish.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what we say.
Angel fish. This is, wait, what am I saying? This is an angel fish with a glowing halo, not from the game, which there is one in that game, a halo fish, but from the animated series.
Ah, that is Star Trek. No, dang
an
it.
An angel fish with a halo?
That's weird. Like a real, like a ring?
Yeah, it lived in sick bay.
Oh, well, of course it did. That's the worst sounding fish ever.
I'm a doctor, not a marine biologist.
Fishmonger.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Ooh, look, it's the news brought to you by
The Boop Show. Video game news you can use free at frogpants.com/boop.
Yeah, subscribe today. Just put up a new show Saturday. There'll be another show today.
Do it. Do it.
Was going to be yesterday, but we were short on news, so we'll put it up today. Still trying to get all my stuff back on schedule. It's kind of hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. You know, hey, I haven't done a Coverville since before Nerdtacular, so
yeah.
Looking forward to that this week.
Looking forward to a new film sack, like just a bunch of stuff that we haven't done for a bit here. Well, I guess it's only been a week and a half, but still.
Well, I mean, we did a live film sack, so there you go.
We sure did. Mm-hmm. We were right there.
Yes, we were.
Scientists have detected traces of cannabis, or pot, as you might call it,
mm-hmm.
in pipes found in William Shakespeare's garden.
So they found pipes in William Shakespeare's garden.
Yeah, man. He was in there making Romeo and Juliet, man.
I'm going to call this guy Petruchio.
That's pretty funny, man. Dude, I'm starving. Yeah. Some centuries-old pipes found in the garden of William Shakespeare, the garden of William Shakespeare, will contain or still contain traces of pot, according to a South African scientist who claims the relics who examined the relics with forensic technology. The study published in the South African Journal of Science examined 24 pipe fragments from the town of Stratford-upon-Avon, where Shakespeare lived, as we all know. They have found all these things. They found cannabis on all 8 fragments and said that, let's see, evidence of Peruvian cocaine also found in, on 2 others.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Makes you wonder, right?
Speedballing in Shakespeare's garden.
The great bard himself snorted a fat line of coke.
Shakespeare's Garden would be a great band name.
Yeah, it would be.
Great indie band.
That'd be really good, wouldn't it? That would be good.
There was a Shakespeare's sister, but they're not around anymore.
You know what else would be good? What? Apes and Tribal Weirdness would be a great
Tribal band. Weirdness.
Yeah, I like that idea.
And the Apes. You'd have to be the lead singer would be Tribal Weirdness, and the Apes would be his backup band.
Oh, yeah, there you go. That one's all right. By the way, we have a follower who told me, so I made a comment about how Trump is... There's no way Trump's going to win. I wouldn't even call him a Republican. You know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
A guy unfollowed me and said, let me know when you're done bashing on Republicans. Bash on Republicans? I bash on...
Bash on Trump.
If he's a Republican... And I said to him in the thing, I said, if he's a Republican, then I'm a Romulan. I mean, for real. He's a terrible rep for Republicans.
Yeah, exactly.
So, anyway.
Is there any way to watch that... Republican debate, like streaming online, because I missed the whole thing. We had trivia thing that night. I have not. The only thing I heard news wise over the weekend is that Frank Gifford died.
Yeah. I watched it live on Sky TV until they pulled the stream because I'm an unplugger and I don't have Fox News.
Sure.
So I watched most of it. I at least got to the part where he was incredibly rude to Megyn Kelly, who I, you know, think is
I've heard that
professional
yeah.
and nice, and I don't know why it was a valid question. I don't know why he skirted it so hard and made such a terrible comment. But what scared me more than Trump at that convention was how sane he made everyone else seem in all political circles. I'm not a huge fan of Hillary Clinton, and he makes her look better. I'm not really a giant fan of Jeb Bush, makes him look better.
Sure.
We're talking about front runners, but the audience there was gross. The things they would cheer for, I just was like, are you kidding me?
Really?
Where is this? Is this like, was WWE Raw, WWE Raw canceled and they just moved the audience over to the Republican convention? It was weird, I thought. That stuff scared. The stuff they were cheering for, oof, man. Anyway, and it was mostly stuff Trump would say. He'd say something just terrible and everybody would go, oh my gosh.
Plants, maybe.
I don't know. Who knows?
$3. You can sit in the audience. I'll give you $3 if you cheer for everything I say.
It'll be huge.
It'll be huge.
Did a Missouri Republican eat a booger on live TV? That's the question on the lips of many Americans today. There's a chance Ann Wagner, a Republican from Missouri, was simply making sure she didn't have lipstick in her teeth. There's also a chance she was picking a booger and then ate it. Whatever the ultimate answer is, this is live TV segment, which Representative Wagner filmed with Missouri Republican Party Chairman John Hancock. I wonder if he signs a lot of things. After last Thursday's first GOP debate, inadvertently mined for some pure gold, a request for comment from the representative's office was not immediately returned. apparently,
I'm watching this video.
Yeah. Is she eating a booger?
She looks like she's eating a booger. Okay. Why?
I'm going to play it.
She's not checking her joining teeth us for tonight lipstick. From
Cleveland. Very happy to see them. John Hancock, who joins us every Sunday morning.
Oh, my gosh. I think she ate a booger.
I think she ate a booger, too.
Yeah, I don't like that.
Why is she? It's such a...
I really don't like that.
Sticking her finger in her mouth. It's not subtle at all.
No.
It's like her fingers are all spread out like, hey, oh.
She ate a booger. Then she has a look on her face like, I better hurry up. They're about to film me. I better eat this booger now.
That's right. I'm not on camera yet, am I?
Not even that I wouldn't call her a booger eater. I'd say she panicked and didn't know what else to do. I think she thought, well, what else? I got to eat it.
There's got to be something she can wipe it on. I mean, that, you know, clearly that guy's not paying attention. Just wipe it on the back of his suit.
Oh, booger eaters. I have a nephew who likes to eat his boogers. It grosses me out. Finally, two final things. Did you know it was possible to read the end of Wikipedia? I don't know if you knew this.
The end of Wikipedia. How do you know what the end is?
Well,
like the very last the Zizix article.
Well,
is that what it is?
That's what you'd think, but it says there was a last page, and it was created in 2009 by a Wikipedia contributor, Jeff G, Quote, the end of Wikipedia has remained basically a secret Easter egg on the site. This isn't by choice. The page encourages visitors to speak it loud that you have actually read the end of Wikipedia. What I don't understand is now that people have found it, isn't that just a link away?
Right.
Like, I'll just link to it now.
Exactly. It's like, oh, all right. Now it's like saying, all right, I can just jump to the very last page of the book.
Yeah, that's
now I've read the book.
You know, HuffPo, the things you think are news are dubious at best. Finally, Bill Murray is going to appear in the new Ghostbusters film.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Peter Venkman. Well, we don't know who he's going to
play. He won't appear in a fourth installment or a third installment of the, I guess there was two, right?
And then they were planning a third.
Didn't like any of the scripts for the third one, but.
Well, it's because his buddy kept saying, it's going to have crystal alien skulls in it. And he said, all right, forget it, I'm out. Bill Murray ain't afraid of no reboot. The actor who played Dr. Peter Venkman in Ghostbusters in 1984 and Ghostbusters 2 in 1989 will appear in director Paul Feig's upcoming installment of the franchise. This is all according to The Hollywood Reporter. They say they've confirmed it. Murray has long been resistant to star in a third Ghostbusters. He told David Letterman earlier this year that his hesitancy stems from Ghostbusters 2 not having been as well received as the first one. Well, that's that movie kind of blew.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that movie's any good. Feig's first one's one of the great classics of all time.
Of course, yeah.
The current film is still shooting. Miss Melissa McCarthy, Kristen Wiig, Kate McKinnon, Leslie Jones, and Chris Hemsworth. It hits theaters July 22nd, 2016. By the way, those who were not aware, Chris Hemsworth's role in this film is the secretary previously played by Annie Potts.
The Annie Potts character, yeah.
Which I think is kind of amazing.
So I wonder who's going to be the Rick Moranis.
Oh, yeah. Well, do you think they go that far to have, like, would it have to be a Lady Moranis? It would be.
Yeah, I think so. Well, who knows? Unless
Switching all the roles, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. But who knows? It could be a gay Rick Moranis.
Will there be a redheaded annoying lady that says, "I'm going to get you, Peter Venkman," or whatever? What was that guy's name? Remember? And he said he has. Yes, that's correct.
Oh, yes.
Cats and dogs living together. That guy, or the guy he said that to.
Real Genius.
Oh, right. And Die Hard. He was the Die Hard jerk. Reporter, remember?
Oh, the reporter, yes.
That guy.
Yep.
Yeah. Hi, my name
Kate
is...
Kate Micucci. No way, really? Is that true, E. David Croft? That'd be awesome.
Who?
Kate Micucci, I think that's how it's pronounced.
I hope so.
She's half of Garfunkel and Oates.
Oh, the little one.
The little one with the big eyes.
Yeah, I like her.
Yes.
She's great. What's the show?
Raising Hope. She was on Big Bang Theory for a while. She was on...
Raising Hope.
Raising Hope, yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with the crazy tooth.
Right, the dead tooth.
Yeah, I like her a lot. She's great.
Yeah.
I think she's a cutie. I'm going to take a quick break to tell you about our friends at Harry's. Guess who's fixing our shaving problems? Harry's at harrys.com. Shaving with dull blades is no fun. Sometimes you cut yourself, scrape yourself. Dull blades are terrible. They suck. You draw blood. Nobody likes looking at you when you got blood all over your face. Razors are expensive. You have to get them out of that dumb glass thing in the store. It's a huge pain in the butt. That's where Harry's comes in. High quality razors at about half the price of big brand blades. They make them all in their factory in Germany, which means German engineering. Sharpness, high performance. No more dull blades that just blow. They'll ship them for free to your front doorstep. Absolutely free. They're a very efficient company because they cut out all the middlemen and they go straight to you. I got the Winston set, which I love, and it was brought straight to my door. Piece of cake. All this cool stuff came with it. Razor handle with a great look and feel through razor blades, a choice of either shaving cream or foaming shave gel. The Truman set, which is the starter set, is also an amazing deal. You can get all of that for just $15. I really like them a lot. I think Harry's is amazing. That's HARRYS.com. Enter the coupon code MORNINGSTREAM and get $5 off your first purchase with that code. That's MORNINGSTREAM at checkout at harrys.com. Okay. We are going to now take a break. When we come back, the fitness geek will be here. He'll be real tired, is my understanding, because he's been doing a lot of stuff you're used to doing, long podcasty style live streamy things. We'll get all the info on that and some healthy tips coming up soon. Stay tuned for that. We've got your emails and phone calls coming up as well. But let's for now take a break. Brian brought music. What did you bring?
I brought a song. Carrie wrote in, said, "Hey guys, yeah, I can't think of anything clever. I'm writing to request a song on or around my husband Josh's birthday. He's been a longtime listener of TMS, and after much effort and many road trips, he finally made me a TMS listener as well. August 7th is his birthday, and while he doesn't make a big deal out of birthdays, I love them. While we've been through a lot in the past year, this is a birthday definitely worth celebrating. This is his first birthday as a dad. Could you please play a cover of our song? It's All American Reject's Dirty Little Secret. Strange song, I know. No, the lyrics don't apply to us, but the song has a story for us nonetheless. If you can't find a cover, any All American Reject song would do, or he also loves Queen. We love you, Josh. Love, Carrie and Ellie. Thanks, guys. Love the show, especially when we're on the go."
I literally hovered over the bacon cheddar ranch thing.
I know. It's like anytime you hear, if you can't find that.
Yep. I panicked. I changed tabs. I was holding my finger right over it. Didn't happen.
Well, I don't have that, but I do have another cover by All American Rejects. I could not find any covers of Dirty Little Secret, but I hope, like you said, you'll settle for another All American Rejects cover. This one was recorded for 2008 Pepsi Smash. It was like a music... like a little joint effort from Pepsi, and I want to say Billboard was involved with it from back in 2008. Here is the All-American, here are the All-American Rejects with their cover of Britney Spears' Womanizer.
Superstar, where you from? How's it going? I know you got a clue what you're doing. You can play brand new to all the other chicks out there, but I know who you are. Yeah, who you are, baby. Look at you, getting more than just a re-up. K-fed you, yeah, you shouldn't sign a prenup. Faking like a good one, but I call them like I see them. I know what you are. What you are, baby. A womanizer, woman, womanizer. You're a womanizer, womanizer, womanizer. Oh, you're a woman, baby. You are. Womanizer, womanizer, womanizer.
Womanizer!
Boy, don't try to front that I know just what you are. The boy, don't try to front that I know just what you are.
Woo!
You got me going.
Woo!
You're oh so charming.
Woo!
You're nothing but a womanizer. Daddy-o, you got the swagger of a champion. Too bad for you, you just can't find the right companion. I guess when you have one too many makes it hard. It could be easy who you are. It's just who you are, baby. A lollipop. Yes, I mean you're the sucker to think that I would be a victim, not another. Say it, play it how you wanna, but no way I'm ever gonna fall for you. Oh, never you, baby. Womanizer, woman, womanizer. You're a womanizer. Oh, womanizer. Oh, you're a womanizer, baby. You are a womanizer, womanizer, womanizer.
Womanizer!
Boy, don't try to front, yeah, I know just what you are. Boy, don't try to front, I know just what you are.
Woo!
You got me going.
Woo!
You're oh so charming.
Woo!
You're nothing but a womanizer. Boy, don't try to front, I know just what you are. Boy, don't try to front, I know just what you are. You got me crazy.
Woo!
I got you crazy.
Woo!
You're nothing but a womanizer. Maybe if we both lived in a different world, it would be all good, and maybe I could be a girl. But I guess I can't, 'cause we don't. You and you, and you for me. No matter how we toss the dice, it had to be. The only one for me is you, and you for me. So happy together. The boy, don't try to front, hey, I know just what you are. Boy, don't try to front, I know just what you are.
Woo!
You got me going.
Woo!
You're oh so charming.
Woo!
You're nothing but
a womanizer. But I'll try to front, hey, I know just what you are. But I'll try to front, hey, I know just what you are. Woo! You got me crazy. Woo! I'll give you crazy. Woo! You're nothing but a womanizer. Womanizer, woman, womanizer. You're a womanizer. Oh, womanizer. Oh, you're a womanizer, babe.
Magnificent precious jewels from the exotic corners of the world. Opulent opal, stunning sapphire, exquisite emerald, rare aquamarine, and luscious ruby. This alluring million-dollar treasure of color will be featured from now till Christmas directly to our customers at a special show with savings of 60 to 70% off retail. Come to Buffalo Fine Jewelry and invest in elegance this Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
What you walking about, Willis?
I'm dropping the hammer. This is the Morning Stream.
All right, we're back. Hey, I got a couple of taplies to share with you. You want to hear these?
Okay, yeah, of course.
I meant to play these earlier, but we got so wrapped up in awesome stories, I forgot. Here is just a few. You heard this one.
Number two.
That's pretty good. There might be some might be some editing on that one.
Really? You might have doctored that a little tiny bit?
This one I did not, though.
William Tapley. One of the great tragedies of the end times.
Oh, wait. Maybe I did edit that. Maybe. Just a little bit.
Tiny bit, maybe?
Tiny bit. Here's another good one.
I don't know why they have to have logos for every time the Pope goes somewhere.
Pope Tour 2015.
Also, I never really knew what his affiliation was. I always thought it was some kind of, you know, churchy thing that was outside of any organized mainstream religion or something. But he says he's a full-blown Catholic in this video. Which totally surprised me. I don't know why I didn't think that was the case, but he's like full-on practicing Catholic guy. Here's what he said. I like when he said this.
De rigueur.
De rigueur.
De rigueur.
That's pretty good. How about when I say, hey, what's that hanging out of your pants?
It is a yin-yang.
There you go. what do you got in that book there?
The gay agenda.
Okay, great. The gay agenda.
Was he at the zoo?
It was outside. He was out in his backyard or something. He was, what's this way?
That is in fact a hidden phallic symbol.
Yeah, he's out in nature, dude.
Yeah,
wow. Nature. I like this one.
And they taper down, just like a man.
But made for a woman.
Here's a moment where he talked about Veronica Belmont, just a little tiny bit.
V is the Roman numeral for five, and the Illuminati use that to express the one world religion.
No, okay, that makes sense. It's all making sense to me.
As we know.
All right, I got two more. Here's another one.
The shape of horns.
Shape of horns, okay.
Shape of horns. That's my favorite card.
What kind of cross is that?
A Lampedusa cross.
A what?
A Lampedusa cross.
A Lampedusa cross.
Lampedusa?
Uh-huh.
Sure. Is that really a thing?
Sure. I don't know. Who the hell is
Lampedusa.
How about this is the longest end times he's ever done.
It was a great concert fronted by Jane's Addiction frontman Perry Farrell was Lampedusa.
After Porno for Pyros.
That's right.
After that all fell apart. Here's his final moment. It's a really long end times. Here you go.
End times.
Oh, did you hear that?
Could almost stretch that one like the sausage.
That was pretty good, I thought.
Yeah.
I like that one a lot.
End
times. William Tapley, one of the great tragedies of the end times.
All right, what are we doing now? Oh, we're calling Bill. Let's call Bill.
Sounds good. Before we do that, I just want to throw out a big shout out to Derek from Vegas. Mm-hmm. We were at the Pinball Hall of Fame on Sunday, and I was about to play me some Robotron 2064, and he said, wait a minute, are you Brian Ibbett? Mm. And I said, I am, and he introduced himself as a TMS listener. Yeah, so
amazing.
Good luck, Derek. Hope your travels back were good. Hope you had a great time at the Pinball Hall of Fame, and I hope your wife starts listening to the show.
Oh, that'd be awesome. To get her to listen. Always getting spouses to listen. We're all for that. We vote for that. Bill. Hey, check it out. That stopped early. It's Bill Duran, everybody. Hi.
Yeah.
Dude, how are you even alive? Yesterday was like a 24-hour stream day or something.
We only streamed for 16 hours.
Oh, is that
amateur.
Piece of cake. What's funny is our normal routine being, what, 3 weeks before Dragon Con?
Yeah.
The only real difference was that we had a camera running. Mm. I mean,
you're probably in overdrive mode, I'm guessing, because you guys, you've got that and you got PAX right after that.
Yeah, so it's basically the same thing we normally do, except we decided to live stream it. Hooray! Yeah.
Hey, here's a question for you. Does Chicago have a strong... I know they have a Comic-Con, but is it a well-received one? Do people like it? Is it considered a good cosplay destination?
C2E2?
Oh, is that the one? All right. And when does that occur? Do we know?
C2E2. I think that was in, like, April. Oh, okay. Or
earlier in the year.
Yeah, March 18th through 20th, 2016.
I only ask because my wife... is going to Chicago with her friend for a week or something, and I want to say it's over the Dragon Con weekend, so I was curious if there was anything like that happening while she was there, but it sounds like we may have missed the boat on that. So it's fine. She doesn't need to go to those things, but they were inquiring of me, and I thought, well, I've got this pal. His name is Bill Duran.
Oh yeah.
He has a furry face, an identical brother, and a cute little nephew. So speaking of none of that, let's talk about you. Besides all your preparations and all your excitement about all of that, what did you bring for us today, dear fitness nerd?
I want to talk about weight loss progress photos.
Mm.
So Scott, you did like a photo montage at Nerdtacular showing mm-hmm. people some, you know, Nerdtacular's past.
Yep.
And some of the people, you and me included, in those photos look a lot different now than we did back then.
Quite a bit different. More than you would think over just a couple of years' time.
Yeah, it's kind of staggering. And what I would say, if people are starting to get into sort of taking care of themselves better, it might be a little painful, but go ahead and take that before photo.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead and do it. And again, a little painful. Do it in your underwear so you can really, really see the progress. You don't need to show anyone the photo.
Yeah, just hang on to it. Don't put it on your iPhoto stream or your Google Play
deal.
Don't
need to post it into the tadpole, Greg Skinner.
Mm-hmm. Greg Skinner, take a photo of everything.
I know. There's a picture that he took of me that I'm thinking I might have to put above my treadmill as like inspiration.
It's incredible. I'll just say that. It's amazing. I'm looking at it now.
Oh, man. Oh, no, not the one of me breaking something. Oh. Is that the one you're talking about?
Is that you breaking something?
I like
is that,
that photo
happening?
Of me. There's a photo of me from behind hugging Clark after he gave me the Warhammer stuff. And I was like, wow, is that what I look like from the back? Holy crap.
That's
inspiration right there.
What
is like,
you
okay.
that, put that photo on your the refrigerator.
Fridge. Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Wow. So yes. A lot of these can be faked. Like, I want to get this out of the way. We're not talking about those fake, those horribly faked or exaggerated, or even in some cases, not even the same people you see in magazines with before and after. We're talking about your own personal tracking. Take a shot in the mirror, your big dumb gut, your stupid shorts, and then take those same shorts, put those on 6 months later, and look at the difference.
Hold them out like Jared and the Subway commercials. Perfect.
Yep.
So the cool thing about that is, and again, do this if you're gaining muscle too, or if you're losing weight, if you're burning fat, and take progress photos as you go. Don't just take a before and after, because it can be really neat to see yourself transform over time. And it can also be a really great morale booster if you are making progress, because in your day-to-day life, you don't see that progress.
Right.
You might see the scale might go down half a pound, but you can't really see half a pound of progress.
Think of it as pictures of yourself, so other fathers and mothers can agree with me here. It's like pictures of your kids. You take a shot when they're five, but because you're growing with them or they're growing with you, you don't notice the rapid change until suddenly you're like, holy crap, look at this photo of you when you were five. You've grown 2 feet and blah, blah, blah. Like, It's when you're around it, you don't notice it. It's like when everyone sees you after a long period of time, they're like, man, you grew up fast, or wow, your hair is long, or man, you got skinny. Like, my wife hardly noticed me losing the weight over a year and a half because it's so slow. I mean, she noticed, but it wasn't like a thing where every day we're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. But then people see me at Nerdtacular and go, yeah, you've lost like 20 pounds since last year. And it's because they haven't been next to me since then. So a photo is your next best way to do that, right? Just to create this sense of actual perspective on your body.
Yeah, you could even go crazy and take a photo every day and then make a time lapse.
Oh, put it up on YouTube and then wish you didn't. Yeah.
So I looked up on Reddit and there is actually a pretty good subreddit called Progress Pics where people post their own before and after photos. Here, I'll post a link in ye olde chat here.
All right.
Progress Pics, which is kind of neat. It's really inspirational to see other people taking that step. And again, a lot of people in their underwear. Wow. Disclaimer, by the way, if you're at work, it's people in their underwear. Nothing obscene.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Some of these people.
The second one is amazing. Jeez.
Although his eye, he needs to get the red eye out.
Red eye reduction. I do like the animal faces over.
Yeah. That's a good way to keep your anonymity, I suppose.
There you go. Exactly.
Wow, these are really impressive.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's great. I have one of me that I'll never show anyone, by the
way. Yeah, that's me too.
Yeah, I've got one where I did a little profile shot in the mirror, and it's scary business, and I don't want to show anyone.
You might want to do that. Take a front and side photo of yourself, because a lot of times I will say from the front, I'm like, hey, I'm doing all right, and then when you look at the side, you're like, I have so much work to do.
Yeah. This is kind of heartening, though. I'm checking this out. There's just... I don't remember in the internet's past, maybe I just didn't see it, but it seems like there hasn't been this much interest in people improving this part of their life. Do you know what I mean? I feel like there's a big new push for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's cool because something like this subreddit elevates people's accomplishments and it gets other people interested in it, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, I do too. These are great. I'm going to spend all day looking at these. Jeez. Thanks thanks a lot for this.
So there's another one. Oh, let me see if I can find it. It's similar, but for people, mostly dudes, I guess, who are trying to put on muscle.
Yeah.
And it's called Brogress.
Oh, my gosh. Is it really that? It's called Brogress?
Yeah. Again, dudes, people in their underwear, but it's a bunch of dudes flexing. It's similar, where guys are showing how they've worked out a ton to put muscle on.
Here we go.
Before and after photos.
So this guy is a little skinny. Okay. This is where I'm at right now. I need to do this.
I want to find the best, like, Steve Rogers transformation.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
See, this kid already had some pretty good tone. Like, some of these are like, oh, well, all right. You just beefed up an already good foundation. Like, Nick, I always tell Nick's got great, he's got a great build without trying very hard. I told him if you really wanted to go for it, I mean, he could seriously just deck out and be like broad shoulder, you know, Chris Hemsworth. Keeps coming up today for some reason. But he's, you know, he's slow to do that or whatever. And I look at some of these pictures and that's the thing. You've got people with a good starting point, and then it's just a matter of going and getting that definition, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Look at that guy. All right. There's too many dudes here. I can't look at this.
A lot of dudes.
Yeah. A lot of bros.
He's a lot of bros, man. It's Brogress, man.
It's your Brogress. A lot of people have some bad bathrooms, though. You know, maybe take a break from the exercise and kind of fix that.
Yeah.
Clean up
at
that
the very
sink.
Least, yeah. At the very least, clean the mirror.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Because all it takes is, like, if you're brushing your teeth. I don't know if you guys ever do this. You're brushing your teeth, and you look at yourself in the mirror brushing your teeth.
Yeah.
And it's so ridiculous, because you're a goofy human being, that you laugh, and then you just spit toothpaste all over the mirror.
Yeah.
And then take a selfie.
Sure that happens to other people, right?
All right. For some reason, Reddit just... There we go. Reddit was freaking my page out. Well, there you go, everyone. That's a great thing to do. Go take a picture now and then work on it, and then you'll be so surprised. I really wish I would have done more incremental shots. I've really only got the first few I took initially, then some shots of me at like a swimming pool about a year later, and then I could do one now, and I could go, oh, yeah, look at the big difference. I wish I would have done like monthly would have been good.
Yeah, monthly's a good one.
Yeah. Well, I'll learn my lesson. Next time for my bro part, I'm doing the
bro
bit.
Yeah, when
next.
You're putting on all your super huge muscles.
That's right, man.
The bro challenge. So Scott takes the bro challenge.
Can people still find what you streamed yesterday in an archival format, or is there more stuff like that coming? Like, what's your plan, man?
Oh boy, are you in luck? So we do our live stream every week. We do Q&A from the office where we take people's prop and costume making questions. That's all supported by our Patreon, patreon.com/punishedprops, which is going pretty well. We want to do more of that. We do, like, live where we're working in the shop like we did yesterday. Mm. So we have some goals over on Patreon for that. But yesterday we did. Brittany and I sat down in the shop for... That's why my computer's in the shop right now. We worked for 16 straight hours. We did giveaways. We built costumes. And you can see it all. You can go and watch in 2 8-hour chunks on my YouTube channel. Mm. So if you got nothing going on today, fire that up. Watch it on YouTube.com/punishedprops.
Nice. Do check it out. It's Bill Duran. He is Chimbeard on Twitter. He is always here on Tuesdays. Bill, have a great one. We'll talk to you soon.
See you guys.
Bye now.
See you, Bill.
I'm hanging up on him now.
Bill.
Hey, did you hear that Bill Nye documentary Kickstarter just like creamed it?
No.
Yeah, let me find that real quick. It was it's now the highest grossing Kickstarter for a documentary ever. Let's see. Bill Nye film. The Bill Nye film, it's called. Yeah, they wanted $650,000. They made $719,000. They have 57 hours to go. They'll probably hit $800,000 by the end of the night. Nobody's done that well for a documentary, so that's good.
That's great. Good for them.
Good job, Bill Nye.
Yeah.
Now I want the Bill Nye documentary. That actor. That
right. Oh, it'd be great if you could get Bill Nye to play Bill Nye.
Wouldn't that be great? Brian, we just solved everyone's problems. what are we doing now? Let's do your emails and calls. They're brought to you by
the Church of Tassadar. Worship at his feet.
I'm playing a lot of Tassadar right now. Nice. And Heroes of the Storm. He's great. I love him. I do love him. Okay, here you go. Here's an email. We got this from Endor Plumber. Oh, by the way, and Justin
Endor,
will be here.
Endor Plumber.
Endor
not
Plumber.
Indoor Plumber, yeah. But a plumber that fixes Ewok toilets.
Right. Which, dude, seriously, by the way, worst toilets. They're real bad. You think the Wookiee ones are bad.
That's
I'll tell
right.
you what.
Yeah, there's a, looks like there's a wicket stuck in there.
You thought they smelled bad on the outside. was I gonna say, just a note that Justin is going to try to be on news tomorrow. So he's
cool.
Traveling now, but we should have a taste of the jury tomorrow.
Great.
It says, Endor Plumber says this, I am a truck driver and I typically drive as much as 11 hours a day and so I have a lot of time to spend. Perhaps I'm a little slow, but I recently discovered the world of podcasting and I must say, I love your show. The nostalgic commercials, the cover songs, the fun sound bites, and you guys are very entertaining to listen to. It makes my drive much easier. I live in Colorado Springs and I have a lot of friends in or from Utah, so it's really nice treat to listen to locals, quote unquote. Because I have a limited data while on the road, I download a whole week's worth of podcasts while I'm at home for the week using the Pocket Cast app, and then I go through all of them while I'm driving. By the way, Pocket Cast is great both on iOS and Android. Great
right.
app.
Yeah.
I'm usually a week behind on podcasts that I listen to. I will admit I'm a big Star Wars nerd, and so the whole Stump a Trekkie bit is something I could not something I could participate in, but I do enjoy listening to the segment, and I learn something new every time. Speaking of which, where might I find a downloadable clip of that fading 60s movie reel soundbite that you usually play around the segment of your show? Love that audio bite. Anyway, keep up the good work. Look forward to many more trips with you guys. Thanks, the Endor Plumber. I love that name.
Endor Plumber,
it's pretty good. So that little sound clip has actually been shared before on Twitter. I will put it out there again today. If people want to use that little intro, they can. It's also going to be part of the... So we do a big collection of sound clips every once in a while for the Patreon folks. And I just dump all the latest stuff into a big, big folder and everybody can get access to those, make ringtones out of them, do whatever they want to do. And I will make sure that one is part of that. So if you support us on Patreon, you will get access to those as well.
Cool.
Brian, a phone call.
All right.
I'm going to share it with you now. It is about a name. Yes. About a name change, I think. Yeah, here's that one.
Hi, Scott and Brian. I'm calling in regards to PMS. I wanted to talk to you, Scott, because a lot of times you complain about people's names and how crazy they are, and you can spend $50, go down to the courthouse, and change your name. So the next time I hear you complain that there are a million Scott Johnsons out there, I'm going to personally send you $50, and you can go down to the courthouse and find some random original name, something like Brian Ibbotson. Change your name, though. Shane from Long Beach, California.
All right. He makes a good point.
Awesome.
I do complain a lot about how common my name is.
Yeah.
The problem is, look, I'm not saying that, but the reason I usually argue for it because it's like a guy named, you know, Penis McGee or something.
Right.
Go change your name. That's a terrible name to have. Or what, whatever your name is. That's a bad, I can't think of a good example.
That's a really bad example, Penis McGee.
Penis McGee. But you know what I mean? Like the ones that are embarrassing for people. Like
or if, Dick Trickle.
Yeah. Like Dick Trickle or Dick Cheese. That's a fake name, isn't it?
It is a fake name.
Okay. I assume that's not his given.
His real name is Mark. I can't remember his last name. Mark something.
I christened thee Dick Cheese.
Dick Cheese.
And you shall hate video cameras.
And throw phones on the ground.
And throw people's phones away in 2008. I got another call about telling kids off.
Hey, this is Jamie calling for the morning stream. You guys were talking on Wednesday about those stupid teenagers making fun of that poor woman. I'm actually happy you raged out and got after them, because I heard a story from my buddy who I work with, East Indian descent, turban and the whole nine yards. And he was in an elevator, and there's a bunch of other people in the elevator there. And I guess he was on his way to the airport. He had his luggage with him. And this white older lady looks at him and says, "I hope you don't have a bomb in there." And no one else in the elevator said a thing. And almost brought my buddy to tears. And I was telling my wife this morning, if I had been in that elevator and I heard that kind of crap come out of someone's mouth, yeah, I would have ripped them a new butthole.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
I'm happy I got to live vicariously through you telling off those teenagers, and I hope you do it again in the future. Peace, man.
Yeah, stand up for yourselves and stand up for other people.
Stand
and
up for your fellow man.
That's
exactly
right, no matter what the deal is. And also, what was I going to say? Oh, something Jon Stewart said on his final episode, which if you haven't seen it yet, totally worth seeing.
No, I haven't seen it yet.
There's a real touching thing in the middle that was unexpected that really got me. The rest of it was very funny. But anyway, he said on his way out, he said one of his final, you know, his turn to the camera and kind of have a little essay things. He
yes,
did his final
right.
one yeah. and talked about, you know, people speaking up when they smell. The whole thing was that there's BS in everything. And so his final words of advice were, if you smell something, say something. And I think that's it. If you are in a situation, do not just bleed into the background like, well, not my problem. Stand up for people.
Yeah,
do exactly. like Daryl at the bridge with the budding guy.
You may get punched, but it's okay. You're going to get punched in the name of standing up for your fellow man.
Yeah. I mean, you know, there are worse things than getting punched in the face for standing up
exactly.
for your fellow man.
Exactly.
So there you go. Good advice. I like it.
Go get punched today.
One final email. Hey, Scott, from Nick. Did you upgrade to El Capitan? Is it any better? I'm considering upgrading to it. Would like your opinion on it. From Nick. So, Nick, cool. I'm not doing it until release now. Brian did, though, on a notebook.
I did. On my MacBook Air, yeah. And it's funny because I can't take advantage of a couple of things that are really cool about it, like the split screen, mm-hmm. you know, being able to have two apps front and center automatically, as opposed to like having to, all right, stretch this window out or pull this tab down or da da da. Mm-hmm. But
some cool interface stuff.
It feels peppier to me. Mm-hmm. El Capitan does.
I've heard that
and,
as well. Yeah.
I'm digging it.
I'm looking forward to it when it's done.
Yeah.
I was gonna make the change, but the Wacom drivers don't work yet. There's a bunch of things I need to work that won't yet, so I'm gonna wait until final release. But everything I'm hearing from actual developers and people who are really, you know, kind of close to the bone on it, who are making apps and building stuff for it, mm-hmm. say that this is a vastly, vastly improved OS over Yosemite, which was a little slap hazard together.
Might be a little Vista comparison for
a little bit,
Yosemite.
Yeah, which is probably the core of my issues with my lockup. So,
or Mavericks, anyway. Not Mavericks.
No, Mavericks is okay.
Yeah, Mavericks is okay.
The Yosemite one that's out now is kind of garbage.
Right.
Anyway, so there's that.
I keep forgetting the order. Just go back to numbers.
Yeah, come on, guys.
Windows 10. Oh, it's 10. Is that newer than 7 and 8? I think it is, because it's a 10.
Well, get ready for Windows doing that forever, too. Their plan is to go 10 point forever. They're not 10. There's no Windows 11.
Oh, really?
Yep. Same deal.
No way.
Yep.
10.372 in.
Mm-hmm. They're gonna stop making versions. I mean, this is really true. They're gonna just go 10 point whatever, and they may give them names. Like mm-hmm. They won't be cats probably, but
right.
they're just gonna give them names. And I kind of think I like that approach, but I still think it's weird that 9 never existed. It's just
right.
a little bit weird.
It's brushed under the rug like
floor 13 in a hotel, dude.
We don't talk about Windows 9.
No, there is no floor 13.
It ate a guy.
It ate 9, right? 7, 8, 9? No, wait, how'd it go?
7, 8, 9.
7, 8, 7, 6 doesn't like 7 because 7, 8, 9.
Right.
That's a dad joke that I can't even do right. Frogpants.com.
Can you call yourself a dad?
How could I be a father? Frogpants.com/TMS is our website. The morning stream at gmail.com is our email address. Don't forget you can call us 801-471 0462. Leave us a voicemail. Happy to play them on the show. On Twitter, at MorningStream, at Scott Johnson, at Coverville. And we are going to try to revive and use more often our subreddit, which is frogpants.com. I'm sorry, not frogpants.com. frogpants.reddit.com. Just go there. And there are already people trying to sort of get reactivated in there. It sat a little dormant for a while because I never published it or promoted it, but we're going to change that. We're going to start getting articles from there. We're going to start getting feedback from there. Brian and I will do Q&As there.
Yay!
It should be good. So frogpants.reddit.com. It's easy to find. It's already been there. And come join in the fun if you're a Redditor. I think that's everything.
Okay.
Oh, support us at patreon.com/TMS.
Oh, please do.
Yeah, yes. Please do that. We need that.
I want to say that this Thursday for the PM show, we do the poll from the recommendations from the Tadpool, all the different segment ideas they had for voting in exchange for voting for us in the podcast awards.
Love it. Let's do it.
So we'll pull up that list. You and I'll go through that list today or tomorrow or whenever, and we'll say, all right, we'll do this one. We won't do this one. We'll do this one.
That's awesome.
Little 5-minute segments, just like, All right, now we have to only do the soundboard, or now it's,
No, I love it.
Yeah.
I'm all into that. So we'll do that. And then what's happening tomorrow? Nicole, Tom, and Jury. Thursday is normal. I think everything's back to normal this week.
Cool. And I don't know if we have a recommendal topic yet, do we?
I don't think we did.
I'm looking at my sticky note right now.
I think she said she'd get with us.
Yeah. Get with us, Nicole. Hey, get with us.
Hey, Spagnarolo. Get with us, Spagnarolo.
Spagnarolo, if that is your real name.
I'm sure it is. All right. Well, great. Let's get out of here then. You got music for me to go out?
I do. Right. I do. Hey, Johnson and Ibbitt. This is from Adam in Las Vegas. He wants to make a dedication to a loved one that just passed away, his daughter Lily, and wanted to hear a cover of You Are My Sunshine, going out to Adam in Las Vegas. Didn't want to read the whole email. It's really, really touching and sad, but want to make sure we got this one. Adam, this one goes out to you, and sorry for your loss. This is a beautiful rendition of You Are My Sunshine, performed by Elizabeth Mitchell and Daniel Littleton. Came out in 2004. It's a cover of a song by the Pine Ridge Boys, kind of turned into a traditional song. You Are My Sunshine.
Aww. All right, here it is, everybody. We'll play it. We'll be back tomorrow. Please come on back now, you hear?
Sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. The other night, dear, when I lay sleeping, I dreamt I held you. Mistaken, so I hung my head and cried. You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Skies are gray. You'll never know, dear, how much I love you. Please don't take my sunshine away. Please don't take my sunshine away. Please please don't take my sunshine away.
Part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
It is a yin yang.
Yes, it is.
A yin yang.
That was a really, really nice cover of that.
Yeah, it's a sweet version.